Let's give the Lord a thank you offering. Hallelujah to the Lord. We celebrate the Lord's goodness for us. We're talking about a new series. His finished works is our rest. And so we're going to kick off here. I'm actually kicking off on a little side trail, which is probably doesn't mean I make the fastest progress. But this has to do with Daniel. And Daniel was a great prophet. He had the wisdom of God and had the favor of God on him. And he received prophecies from God through the angel Gabriel. Gabriel's a high archangel. And so he received prophecy from the Lord, not just about his current day. Now, he did receive prophecy for the now, but he also received prophecy about Jesus, and he also received prophecy about the end time. Okay? And so they're, you know, sectioned out. But it's just like the Lord, because he has a word for us about Jesus, always has a word for us about Jesus, because we're to see Jesus, hear Jesus, respond to Jesus. That's Christian living. Amen. So there's always a word about Jesus from God. He loves to show us Jesus. Holy Spirit points out Jesus to us in the Word and also in our life. He's very good about that. But also at the same time, there's a now word that God gives us, and he can give you daily direction, okay? And he can give you a personal word for a personal situation. And I'm preaching on rest because I want you to understand the best way to hear God is to come to a place of rest in your heart. Amen. Come to a place of peace in your heart. The hardest, probably the biggest obstacle to hearing a word from God, direction word, any kind of word, is emotion. And when our heart is disturbed, even if it's after something good, if our heart's disturbed, it's hard to hear them, because emotions have a way of being a distraction, okay? And so the place of rest has to do with an now word from God also. But also the Lord has future word for us. And I want to tell you, he's already in our future. And there's a lot about prophecy that I don't understand. I just confess to you, I don't understand. I've been studying the Word for 43 years. I'm still in Psalms, Proverbs, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I haven't gotten to some of the things that some of these other pastors have studied. And so I yield to them on some things. But, you know, we're to be learners. And so there's a little bit here that I'm going to touch on, and I hope you'll catch this. But this Babylonian Empire had captured, when they conquered Jerusalem, they captured Daniel, and they took a number of captives back to Babylonian to serve, to be slaves and to serve. But something they practiced, this empire, is that once they conquered a people, they would take the brightest minds, and they would take them back to be a part of their think tank. I'm trying to put this in terms where you'll understand it. The gift of simplicity is coming out. But they would make them a part of the think tank. And so actually they would gain, from whatever culture they conquered, they would gain the brains from that culture, and they would incorporate it. And as a result, during this time period, they had the greatest think tank, group of brains, men of wisdom, over all the whole world. They had the greatest group of brains. And so Daniel and three other Hebrew men that we know of became a part of that. And so, but what happened was, is that a lot of the brain and wisdom of the world comes from the dark side. And so all these were people of the dark side. Now when Daniel and the other three Hebrew men came, they were coming from light and not darkness. And as a result, the king, as they were going through their testing period, and they had about 3 years of training they were going through, but going through all that and meeting with the king personally, his testimony was this, is that these guys, the Hebrew, the people that knew God, knew the Word of God, loved God, they were 10 times brighter 10 times better. This is King's words. 10 times better than everybody else. Isn't that something? Now I want to tell you, they had favor from God and they had wisdom. They had God's wisdom. All the other guys didn't. Okay? They honored God. They loved God. And I just want to know you to know that they were promoted. Like Daniel was promoted to a very high position in the government, even though he was not a natural. He was one that was brought in. He was promoted to a high position of favor and authority in that kingdom, and as a result of having the wisdom of God. I want to encourage you with that. That's a little trail run on this, but I want to encourage you on that because according to the Word of God, because of Jesus, we have His wisdom. And when we seek the Word of God and we seek God, He gives us wisdom. All right, we're at a place of favor with God because of Jesus, because all we have to do is ask and we'll receive wisdom. And we already have His favor. And so I'm telling you, this story at this point is a whole lot like Joseph. Even though he was captured and brought into a foreign territory and a foreign people, because he had the favor of God and because he had the wisdom of God, and basically the favor means they saw God on him, that he was raised up in a foreign country to a high position of favor, a high position of authority. Does that sound familiar? Well, I want to tell you, that's available for me and you. Wherever you work, wherever you are, I'm telling you, because of Jesus, we can expect God's favor. We can seek God, be in His Word, and receive His wisdom. That according to the Word of God will raise you up even above those in authority over you as far as wisdom and favor. It's amazing. The Bible says that you'll even know more than your teachers because of wisdom. Now that's amazing, but that's just the way God works and that's available for us too. This king said there's none equal to these guys. And they were better than the dark side because they had his life and his favor and wisdom. And so the angel Gabriel came from God and prophesied to Daniel in Daniel 9. We're going to read one verse there. I'm talking a lot to cover one verse. And I've got to explain to you real quick that 1 week, and God gave Daniel the wisdom of this in the Numbers, that 1 week entered meant 7 years. And so 70 times 7, 490 years is what this is about. I'm kind of circling that to give you an understanding. He's speaking of 490 years. And so with these wise men that were gathered, they were also called a group of what we would call the group of magi's. And these were guys that, and it's kind of a root word for magic, but these were guys that relied on the dark power to have supernatural acts from the dark power, from the enemy, okay? And this is not talking about modern-day illusionist like Professor Thaddeus. Okay? We're going to get to see him in near future. We have a illusionist in our church, Professor Thaddeus. And we're going to get to see him. And, I'm telling you, you'll go, wow. And you'll say, how do you do that? Okay? That's a big difference between someone doing acts by supernatural power. For example, you can think of Pharaoh's wise men, and they had acts of power that they did by the dark side. But God's power is greater. They also had soothsayers, which are fortune tellers, and they had Chaldeans, which were astrologists and astronomers. They were both, okay? They studied the stars. And this is why, and I'm just giving you a little, I watch Blue Bloods and I watch NCIS, so a little detective work here. And I have to say that in funny, because I have to say, and qualify to those listening by podcast, this is what we call Tim's thoughts, because I can't prove this. But a little NCIS and a little Blue Bloods, strategy has made me think in the past that this is where these group of brain thinkers, this is where the Magi came from in the New Testament that came to see Jesus. The wise men from the East. Now, that would have been 12 generations of wise men. But I want to tell you something. Because Daniel and his words were prophetic, and he was esteemed as high honor, and what he said came to pass, they esteemed his words from God as very, very high. He was a part of that think tank. And so for generations to come, they recognized and remembered his words from God. And so 490 years later, 12 generations later, this think tank, wherever they were located in the East, if they were smart enough to be the smartest in the world, they probably figured out where to survive, you know. But 12 generations later, that group was ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so they showed up. Isn't that amazing? When the very people that God destined and designed to present Jesus to the world did not. And they had the full Word of God at that point and didn't recognize Him. Isn't that amazing? Well, it just goes to show that you can be in church, be familiar with the Word of God, be comfortable singing the songs, even like the preacher, and miss God. Don't miss Jesus. Okay, very, very important. And so not only did they know the prophecy, they knew the timing, they also knew he was being born in Bethlehem, and they also had the star, which they studied the stars, but they knew that this was a star from God. This was God's GPS system, okay, to the exact location. All right, so that's the introduction. For one verse, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks of years, 490 years, are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city Jerusalem to finish and put an end to transgression, to seal up and make full the measure of sin, to purge away and make expiation and reconciliation for sin. Ooh. To bring in everlasting righteousness, permanent moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation, to seal up vision and prophecy and prophet, to anoint of Holy of Holies. Does anyone want to guess who this prophecy is about? His name is Jesus. Give me a J. J. Give me an E. E. Give me an S. S. Give me a U.S. S. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, this speaks of Jesus. Okay? When the New Testament talks about the finished work, this is speaking of some bringing in everlasting righteousness. Wow. I'm telling you, the people of Old Testament of faith looked forward to the cross and said, wow. They yearned for that day. You see, they believed toward the cross. We believe from the cross. We're in the special age of grace of the finished works of Jesus. And so it's a great day to be alive and to love God and know God. This speaks of putting an end to sin. Now we know that not everything in this period of grace is good. Because Jesus did describe that there's still an enemy alive and well, even though he's a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. That not everything that happens in this life is good because the enemy's active. But God is so loving and so powerful that he's promised to work all things for our good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, I was sharing this with a pastor one time years ago. And this is what God's promise is. So we can look forward to the goodness of God no matter what happens. God's working behind the scenes and to work it out for our good. This is really some powerful insight that affected my life because I was not always raised in a positive atmosphere. And so when the Lord showed me this, it so changed my life. And it caused me to have a lot of thanksgiving and praise. And I just went kind of crazy in thanksgiving and praise. And that's a great place to be. Especially when you're having a little cray-cray in your life, get crazy in praise and thanksgiving. Because it positions your heart to see God and receive from God. Beautiful. How beautiful it is. But anyway, and I was sharing this with a pastor, and I was a young guy, and this pastor told me. He said, let me tell you something. He said, no one really knows what it means to be called according to his purpose. And so we can't claim that. I said, hey, I think I know what it means. And I was just young in the Lord, and the gift of simplicity was already working. But this guy said, well, what do you think it means? I said, I think it means to just love the Lord and to do what he says, to follow him. And you fulfill his purpose. And he works all things out for your good, his glory. And the guy said, well, I'll tell you one thing. He said, when I started preaching, I never promised God I'd wear a white collar. And so, I wasn't very smart, but the Holy Spirit gave me some insight that the problem was not with the word, it was with his heart. And so, I had a little boldness then, still have a little. I had a little boldness then, and I said, well, brother, the problem's not with the word. The problem's not with the collar, it's with your heart. And he got mad. And I didn't get to preach there no more. But that's okay. I've been kicked out of better places, believe it or not. But this is what this is talking about. I want to tell you, this speaks of finish. And he will work all things for good to those whose hearts are turned toward him, who are lovers of God, who love God and do what he says. They fulfill his purpose. And Jesus is, we know this, if you need to, go back and listen to the last series, but Jesus is our reconciliation for sin. He brings to us everlasting righteousness. That's the gift. We don't earn it, we receive it. He makes us righteous in him. It's a gift, it's grace, it's finished works. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you righteous until your next sin? See, because there's a lot of people believe that. One preacher I was talking to that believes this way. He has to have revival before every Sunday, you know. And it's not bad to repent. It's good to repent. But he just does it as a safe covering. But it's like I was fellowshipping with him one day, and I said, how's the Lord treating you today? You know, it's just a term to opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. He said, well, I know what you're going to say next. How am I treating him? And I said, well, yeah, that was my next thought. He said, well, I'm not doing too good because I'm moving. And because I'm moving, I'm so frustrated and aggravated. And he said, I just better just tell you I'm in trouble today. And I said, so you're hoping the Lord don't come back today? Okay. You know, I was trying to make him laugh. But see, when you believe that you're righteous only until your next sin, then I want to tell you, you live on quite a roller coaster. All right? Look, it's not based on our righteousness. Your righteousness didn't get you saved. Your unrighteousness can't make you lose salvation if your righteousness didn't earn it. It's by his righteousness, start and finish. Okay? Some people believe they're not righteous till they get to heaven. But Bible says that Jesus' works make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's what Jesus does. It's not our report card, it's his. You are everlasting righteous in Christ. What a glorious gospel that is. Woo! That makes you want to shout. How sweet and precious that is. The Lamb of God provided the gift of everlasting life when you received him. And in the gift of everlasting life is everlasting forgiveness and everlasting righteousness. Now, our part is to do, like I've shared with you, what Adam was to do. Our part is to observe it, to cultivate it, and also to live it, to guard it. Okay? Observe it, cultivate it, and guard it. Amen? That's what Adam was to do in the garden. Now, let's go back to Adam just a minute and talk about when he sinned. Because this was a sad day. And I'm pulling weeds today in the little garden out in front of our house. I'm working on weeds because of this. Okay, but it goes this way. When Adam sinned against God, he was no longer guarding the finished work. God drove him out of the garden. And this is what he told him in Genesis 3:17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife. But I tell you what, we could park there. Now, I'm not saying this because the first lady's not here. I know somebody, it crossed your mind, okay? But I want to tell you something. Hey, the deal is that she was saying what the enemy was saying. And so that's the deal. All right? And I want to tell you, God's given you men to be the guard of the home, to be the protector of the home. And I want to tell you, it's okay to say no to your wife. Yeah, I said it. Want me to say it again? It's okay. I don't care what the commercials say on TV, what the TV shows, because they present all men as dummies. We've given them a lot of menu to choose from. But it's unbiblical to think that way. And so don't think that that's a biblical picture. It's sure not. But it's okay to say no to your wife. God's put you in that position to do so, especially if her thinking or her speaking doesn't line up with the word, with what God wants. It's your responsibility to say no. Okay? Now, I'm all about biblical authority. And, you know, we practice that in our home. These pastors practice that in their home. But I want to tell you something. It's a big difference. If you're loving on your wife with divine love, that's greater than your love. Amen. Submission comes as she submits to the Lord. I want to just announce to you, it's no big deal. When you're loving your wife with divine love, it's right for her to respond to you as she submits to the Lord. And so submission's not a problem. It's a precious teamwork. But the way God caused it to work is that we love them with divine love and they submit to us as they submit to the Lord. It's all unto the Lord, and He's the one that makes it good. And so it's okay to say no. But before you say no, it's best for you to be saying yes to the Lord. Okay? So, you know, that wasn't in the notes. All right. You've given heed to the voice of your wife, and you've eaten the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Now look at this. The ground, everybody say the ground. I want you to recognize the ground, because that's coming back, is under a curse because of you. And in sorrow and toil, that's why my shirt was soaking wet with sweat. Okay? When I was working on it. And in toil, you shall eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life. When Adam was enjoying Eden, and Eden means in the pleasure and delight of the Lord, he was enjoying the joy and the peace and the rest. It was a finished work where he received the rest of God. And there was continual harvest there. But under the curse, see if this sounds familiar. Under the curse, there was sorrow, there was weariness, there was burden, there was a works mentality to survive. And there was a lifetime of it. So here's a big question. Are you operating under the finished works of Jesus, where there's rest, where we believe? Are you operating under the curse? Listen now, let's catch this. Where we're toiling the ground, and ground is a good word for flesh. That's where our flesh came out of. So ground's a picture of flesh. Are we toiling and working the flesh and experiencing the sorrow and the survival mentality? Now, the Bible's a great picture book. It's important for us to see Jesus. And when you see Jesus in it, okay, the Holy Spirit will show you yourself. You've heard me say that a few thousand times. Are you guarding the finished works, the place of pleasure and delight in the Eden of the Lord? Are you tilling the ground, trying to make a garden by working your flesh? You see, it's what we talked about in the last series, the difference between self-effort and spirit. It's the difference between, the words flesh and works are interchangeable. Flesh is the effort of man trying to do what God's already done, trying to earn it, trying to deserve it, trying to conquer in this life by works of the flesh, by self-effort. Okay, this is where I have to call a timeout, because it sneaks in to church life, self-righteousness, where we try to work to make God do something or to get something from God. And one of the easiest ways it sneaks in is in spiritual warfare. Now, some spiritual warfare folk think I'm picking on them. I'm not. I'm sharing this in detail because I've been there. Okay? I've been on that side of the fence. And so I'm trying to help, not hinder. But when you think by harder praying and harder self-effort that we're going to overcome, then I want to tell you that's toiling the ground. Are you praying to victory, to get victory, or are you praying from victory? I'm going to say this a lot in this series. I hope we catch it. There's a big difference in that. Fighting for victory makes you tired, exhausted, and burnt out. You can work yourself in a place to such a point of toiling the ground where you blow a fuse, and it's not pretty. I don't care if you do it in Jesus' name. It's still not pretty. It's not God's way. It's by grace through faith. Hey, even in prayer, don't make prayer a works. Prayer, and I've shared with you, and I did a prayer series where the most important thing is not the wording. I'll tell you what, in some places, you got to say it just right or it don't work. Work. Are you listening? Work. Okay, it's not in the wording. It's not in some places, if you don't pray loud, it don't work. God's not hard of hearing. It's not in the volume. I'm trying to be cute but get a point across. Hey, in some places, if you don't cry and sweat, it don't work. Notice the emphasis I'm putting on work. Okay? It's not about your sweat. I want to tell you, Jesus has already shed blood for this to work. And so it's not about our sweat. As a matter of fact, we're to do this in His rest. Not in our sweat, but in His rest. Okay? I can ask a question like this. Because in some places, it's taught. I'm not throwing out any stones at any names. I'm just trying to help you. In some places, it's taught that you have communion to be forgiven. You got to have communion to be forgiven. In some places, it's taught that you got to have communion to be healed. And so let me just make this personal, since I'm the pastor and it's a pastoral privilege. Do you take communion to be healed or to be forgiven? We're to take communion to remember. Let's all say the word remember. We're to remember His words. We're to remember His works. We're to remember who He is. We're to remember who we are in Him because of who He is and what He said and what He's done. And so we remember not to be forgiven. We remember because we are forgiven. We remember that we are forgiven. It's good to remember and to be reminded that we're forgiven. I'm pretty convinced, not enough to say 100%, but it's in the 90s. That in order for us to choose to blow it, we choose to forget who we are in Him and what He's done. Goes back to the chooser. We've already done a series on that, so I'm not going there. But it fits. But we take communion to remember that we're forgiven. Hey, let me jump on this. We take communion to remember that we're healed. Because it's finished works. There's a big difference. We rest in His works, provided by grace, received by faith, not our works, His works. We remember, let's all say remember, and proclaim His truth. Even when our five senses say, it ain't so. Now, I've got a lot of compassion for people in pain. And you've heard me say probably a few hundred times that there's no greater or louder voice than pain when it comes to the five senses or from the world. I'm telling you, pain, that's a severe test. But you know what? Even in pain, we're to proclaim His word. We're to confess the word of faith. Even though it's not visible, it is in the invisible. And the invisible is real. And we got to see it in the invisible before. And then say it before. And give thanks for it before it becomes visible. Was that too much? Did you catch that? Okay, Jesus told Abraham, and I say Jesus because it was the angel of the Lord, the manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus told Abraham, I've made you father of many nations. He didn't have one child. Sarah had not had one child. And he speaks what is not as though it were. That's God's definition of faith. Okay, God loves to see finished works. I'm telling you, when he spoke this to Abraham, he saw Abraham nations in him. Sands, stars, he gave him visible pictures. And he sees finished works in us. Aren't you glad that he sees the finished works of Jesus in you? Yes, I'm so glad. Well, he wants us to see him in others. Oh, that's good. He wants us to see the finished works in others. Because I want to tell you, there's just no one quite as good as you, you know. Are you catching what I'm saying? Don't you kind of sometimes just find yourself thinking, well, you know, I wish they'd drive like I do. Well, hey, he wants us to see others in the finished works. Hey, I'm not pushing this too far, am I, Pastor? Because Jesus, when he spoke of the lost, he gave three stories back to back. And this is what the way he saw the lost. As a lost coin, as a lost sheep, as a lost son. Hey, sheep are precious. Coins are precious. Sons are precious. And so I'm not stretching this. He wants us to see others in the finished work. Now, wait. Because this is the way he says it. He wants us to love him, to love the Lord. Amen. He wants us to love others, Amen. See others in the finished works. And he wants us to love ourselves. Yeah. See ourselves in the finished works. Now, I want to tell you, there's a big difference. The way we walk when we see ourselves in the finished works of Christ. Amen, Brother Tim. That was a great spot right there for an amen. I'm going to start having somebody up here and raise the sign, you know. God loves to see the finished works. He wants us to see ourselves and see others in the finished works. And this is where we teach about the imagination room. And you see what he sees in you. See yourselves the way he sees. That's where hope springs up. Okay? When you pray for this church, I want you to see some finished works. See what Jesus died for in this church. See people filled in all these seats. Oh, I said that backwards. See these seats filled with people. You know, I don't care how it works. We want it. Amen. And you know what? See people being saved. See families being restored. Marriages being restored. Hey, see people being healed. See the wave caps. Okay, see the waves in the baptistry? We like that. See multiple services? See me skinnier? I mean, see it. Okay, I'm trying to help you catch this. You got to see it in the magic. When you see this and pray finished works over your church, I want to tell you, hope springs up out of that. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, the invisible is real. We got to go there. We proclaim his word and confess the word of faith. We got to do this. This is where we're to live. He sees us through the finished works. He loves it when we agree with him and see the finished works by faith. I'm trying to tell people that when you pray over yourself, see the finished work. See the finished work of Jesus. When you confess, confess the works of Jesus. Speak the word of faith. But Pastor, I'm in the middle of pain. Well, I hate that. I tell you what, I hate that for you. You're looking at a man who's experienced some pain. I have compassion for pain. Well, I'm going to the doctor. Go to the doctor. You know, thank God for medicine, for medical knowledge. I think it comes from God anyway. So thank you, Lord, for that, for healing. But listen, lean on, when you go to the doctor, lean on, depend on and trust in and believe in Dr. Jesus at the doctor. Amen. When you take medicine, lean on, trust in, and believe and depend on Jesus when you take medicine. All right? You've heard me say, let's let Dr. Jesus have the last word. I got a little reproof, I think, from the Spirit this week. And so now it comes out like this. Let Jesus have the last word and the first word. Why don't we wait to go to the doctor and find out what all's wrong before we let Jesus have the word? No, no. Let's let Jesus have the first word and the last word. Dr. Jesus. I'm not picking on anyone, because since I've been doing this for 43 years, I've got so many examples. And so I'm just going to announce all these examples are from the past, people you don't know. That make you feel better? But now if it applies, like Spurgeon said, if the hat fits, I pray thee wear it a bit, is the way Spurgeon put it. I got that all mixed up when I was preaching up north one time, and I said, if the fat fits, wear it. Came out wrong. Okay. Sometimes the Lord will lead me to carry communion elements to people that are sick and to pray the word of faith. That's what we do. But I've been amazed, and I'm just sharing an example with you. See, who are you believing in? Who are you trusting in? Because I want to tell you, and Pastor James, I mean this all good, but I'm trying to help that. It goes like this. I would be there with the little communion elements, ready to pray the prayer of faith, and a nurse comes in or a doctor comes in and says, hey, I think they found out what's wrong. They got a pill for you, and they get so excited. Are we going to send you down for, you know, MRI, and they're going to find out exactly what's wrong? Oh, that's great. Yeah, excited. Are you with me? I mean, just excited, hopeful. Oh, this is good. And then, you know, well, we have the prayer of faith, and we've got communion here in the prayer of faith. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, I'm just saying, pill, medicine, yeah. Word, prayer, faith, oh, yeah. I'm just telling you. All right? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, where is our heart? Where is our beliefs? Who are we trusting more? Okay. All right. I didn't think that was going to be very popular, but it's... Okay. All right. Let me underline it. And see, you'll probably catch this one. People say, well, Brother Tim, if I could just get healed, I would believe. Okay, now I'm going to say something that pastors listening, and there's some that do, and there are some pastors that preach these sermons better than I preach them, by the way. But see, they're going to not like this. I'm just going to announce. Now see, they're all listening real close. But the manifestation of healing is not the most important step. Amen. I'm going to say it again, because you think you misunderstood. No, no. The manifestation of healing is not the most important step. What's happening in your mind is the most important step. It's what's happening in your heart that's the most important step. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, how's it working out for you? Okay. Hey, I'm a learner too. I don't walk in this stuff perfectly either. But let's go together. Hey. Hey, if you bury me next week, I ain't going to be here. Okay? So, let's keep on believing. If I go out, I want to go out with a shout. I want to hit heaven and them saying, well, man, he was believing. Because I want to tell you, God honors that. Okay. It's just like people... I equate that to this, and you'll probably understand this one because it won't be as personal. It's just like people saying, when I get $1 million, I'm going to be a big giver. I can't help but laugh because people have told me that, okay? Let me tell you. I've had two millionaires And I don't have millionaire friends. I would like to have some. I don't have millionaire friends. But the two millionaires that I've visited with and talked to about Jesus have said to me, both of them did, "Well, brother, I'm pretty sure you're going to talk to me about money." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not here to talk to you about money. I'm here to talk to you about your heart." He said, "Well, let me just go," both of them said, "Well, let me just go on record and say this. Do you know how much money 10% of $1 million is?" I said, "Yeah, I do. It's the same 10% of 100. It's the same 10% of 10. It's the same 10% of 1. And so for people to say, "Well, you know, when I get $1 million, I'm going to be a big giver." Look, who are you agreeing with? You see, it's by grace through faith. That's our lifestyle. Too many people view Jesus as a 911. This is not supposed to be a 911 lifestyle. It's supposed to be a daily, everyday, by grace through faith lifestyle. Interact with Jesus using faith, by grace through faith. Practice the finished works in the little areas of your life, in the big areas of your life, in the daily areas of your life. One of the big problems that we have as pastors that we see over a period of time is that people come to a crisis in their life and they want to hear God. "I got to have a word from God." Well, you know what? Don't wait till the crisis. Let it be a lifestyle. Hey, practice hearing God in the little things, day by day, as a lifestyle, by grace through faith. Practice receiving from the invisible to the visible. And then when it comes to a crisis, guess what? It's not a new path. It's not a mystery path. It's a path that's already got your footprints. It's already a path that you know that has the drops of Jesus' blood on it. It's already a path that you know that the promises of God are true, and that He's ever true, and that He's proved Himself to you over and over again. And this is nothing for God. Because it's about grace through faith lifestyle in the finished works. Is anything too small? Is anything too big? Now, I want to tell you, you say, I've got to ask you a question. Who are you agreeing with? Who are you agreeing with? Because if you're not believing and trusting in and depending and receiving from the Lord, hey, the Lord heals you, the enemy can come talk you out of your healing. I'm not stretching this. I'm not making this up. Because Jesus said that the enemy has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus gave us some real insight in the parable of the sower when he said, talked about the word of God being the seed, and the birds of the air want to come and steal the seed. Because I want to tell you, if we allow, I'm saying it like this, if we allow, if our heart doesn't capture that seed and embrace that seed, cultivate that seed. Does that sound familiar? Observe that seed. Does that sound familiar? Guard that seed. Does that sound familiar? Then I want to tell you, the birds of the air, which represent the demons, would come and steal that seed away. And guess what? When they steal that seed, that incorruptible seed, when they steal that seed, they steal the harvest that would come from that seed. And so don't take this lightly. When you say no to the seed of the Word of God, you're saying no to the harvest of God in your life. Well, we need to pause and meditate on that. But time's going fast. We all know. Again, Pastor Don, please witness this to me. I'm talking about the past. Could talk about the present, but we're talking about the past. There's examples that we know of people that we prayed for that God's healed. God healed them to such an obvious manifestation that they went to the doctor and got confirmed by the doctor that they were healed. One I'm thinking about, no cancer in their system. They were released by the doctor, released by the hospital, and said, there's no cancer in you. 6 months later, we had his funeral. Okay, I'm not being critical, because I want to tell you something. I've watched me allow the enemy come and steal stuff that God's given me.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Tim, shame on you. Okay, no, I repent. You know where we go with that? Repentance. Because we don't walk in it perfectly. But wait, hearken just a moment. Has the enemy ever stolen your peace? Has the enemy ever stolen your joy? Has the enemy ever stolen a blessing that God's given you? Have you ever found yourself walking around the mountain again and stopping and looking at it and saying, I've been here before. Well, so have I. I'm trying to help us to walk on new ground. If the enemy can talk you out of your joy and your peace, wait a minute. If he can talk you out of the assurance of your forgiveness, if he can talk you out of the gift of righteousness where you don't believe it, he can talk you out of your healing, he can talk you out of your blessing. Amen. So, our faith helps us rest in the finished works. Are we over here in belief, though? Hey, where we're wrestling and we're toiling the ground and we're trying to make a garden? I want to announce he already has. It's the finished works of Jesus. It pleases Father when we rest, when we believe, and when we receive. Are we working to get from God or thanking him in faith that he's already provided and we have it before it's visible? I want to do a t-shirt sometimes that says, got Jesus, you got peace. Got Jesus, you got joy. Got Jesus, you got love. Got Jesus, you got the gift of righteousness. You got Jesus, you got the finished forgiveness. You got Jesus, you got healing. Could we go on? Yes, because everything that he is, we have. Because we got them all. We have it. God's way is the way of rest. You know, Gina, this is going to be a repeat for you. I told you it was coming back up. But I'm just going to mention it because I'm probably going to preach on it later on. Time's already gone today. But you remember Noah. The Bible says about Noah that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're talking Old Testament. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now you know what the Hebrew presents in the word grace? As a matter of fact, it's in some translations like this. Noah found rest. Is that good? That ought to spring up in your heart. Even if you're saying, you know, I don't understand this, you could probably hear the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, 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 this is for you. He found rest in the sight of the Lord. His rest is where we receive what he's provided. It's the healing gift of grace. The promised land, our promised land, where we receive what we didn't work for. But we do have a responsibility like Adam to occupy the promised land. That was their part. You know what God said? I've already conquered them. They're conquered. They're a defeated foe. Go get them. Occupy the land. When you go, you're going to be so blessed. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. Now, I want to tell you, I don't really dream of a bigger house. I do dream about a house on a ranch. I've already calling it the Ranch of Eden. You know, that's a good name. The House of Eden. The Lake of Eden. The Petting Zoo of Eden. She's not as excited about that, but the grandkids are. Hey, listen. I don't dream of a bigger house. But I want to tell you, some of those folk got big houses. But I want to tell you something they all got. They got houses they didn't build.
Yeah.
Finished! Finished! I want to tell you about some of them. They were in houses so big, they didn't know what to do. They were so blessed. It was so big. You know why? Because they were built by giants.
Yeah.
Four giants. They had the best and the biggest. And here we are. Woo! Mama, look at this. Huh? There's a report of one giant that had a bed 18 foot long that they found. Remnants. 18 foot long. We know Goliath, 10 foot. Found remnants of a bed. I guess it might have been a foot or two to spare. Probably didn't want his feet hanging over, but an 18 foot bed? Well, I'm here to tell you, Mama, look at this. Our whole family could sleep in that. But we ain't going to do it because we got big rooms and big beds everywhere. I want to tell you, he's made provision for us that's better. He said, hey, it's a land of milk and honey that flows. He talked about flowing, overflows. I want to tell you, that's a picture for us. Hebrews 4:11, and I got to wrap up. And oh my, okay, I got to wrap up. Hebrews 4:11 says this for us. This is for us today. Let us therefore be zealous. See, there's nothing in this about being lazy. There's nothing in this about not trying. There's nothing in this about not seeking God, that just sitting on our hiney and letting whatever happens, happens. No, there's a place for us to occupy. There's a place for us to observe. There's a place for us to be participate in the garden, okay, where we guard it, where we cultivate. Here it is. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves. Are you doing that? And strive diligently, that means daily, to enter that rest, the rest that God's provided, the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. It's one thing for Pastor Don to get rest about where Mary's book is. Okay, that might have been a day or two in coming. But it's good to have rest about it. You say, well, it's good for brother, but no, it's not enough for Brother Don to have rest about Mother Mary's daytimer. Thank God it's found.
Amen.
Became a church prayer. Don't carry it everywhere. You don't have it today, do you? Put it in safe. God bless. Okay, that's my word of wisdom. All right. But you know what? It's not enough for them to have rest. You need rest. You've got to personally... Hey, cultivate, observe, and come to the place of rest and guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. Your day will be determined by what goes in and out of your heart. Woo! Let's be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. This is for us personally. That no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedient into those which the wilderness fell. And so we're labor to the rest of God. Labor to the rest. Our battle is in the mind, it's in the heart, has to do with the will, but we're to come to the place of God, the rest of God, where we can receive the land overflowing. The reason that we would not is unbelief, because it's been paid for. The reason that we would not is because we would not battle into the rest. I want to tell you what the devil's going to say, because I want you to know it up front. He's going to say, this is not real. You see, he says the same thing he was saying in the garden. Okay? But it still works, so he's still doing it. But it's time for the people of God. Hey, look, when the devil comes up and you say to you, hey, it don't work for me, this is not real, he wants you to give up, he wants you to quit, he's going to say to you, it's not real. He's given us so many examples in Scripture. I'm going to say this one. Just to show you I'm finished, I'm going to ask you to stand while I say this. And all the people rejoiced. Amen. Okay. Let me share it like this. These pastors will back me up on this. You know, the promised land was conquered before they ever stepped in. He said, go occupy it. They're a defeated foe. houses that you didn't build, land flowing milk and honey, flowing.
Yeah.
But you know, there were two tribes that said, we think it'd be easier just to stay on this side of the Jordan. It's not too bad over here. We believe we'll just hang out here. It's not too bad. And you know, I just feel like, you know, I'm at a time in my life where I just don't really want to battle it. I don't want to occupy it. I don't want to face any victorious warfare, because it's victorious warfare. I really would rather not. I think it'd be easier, is what they said, Gina. I think it'd be easier for us just to stay over here. And God bless y'all as y'all go. Send us those good reports. God bless you. Send them good reports. Amen. We bless you and you're going. Have a victory for us. Well, I want to tell you, you know, God reproved them. I want to tell you, that wasn't God's best for them on that side of the garden.
Yep.
On that side of the garden. Well, it was on that side of the garden. But on that side of the Jordan, it was not God's best. God had more in mind for them than that. They settled for less. The enemy's saying the same thing. Oh, it's okay. Just continue the way you're going. You know, heaven's on the way. Heaven's coming. And you know, it'll all be better in the sweet by and by. And this is the path of least resistance, and it's just okay. No, 1,000 times no, that's not God's best.
Amen.
That's not faith. That's not what Jesus paid for. He paid for you in your home, in your life, in this church, for the victory of God to be evident to such a place that the world sees that He's real and alive. And if it's for us, it's for them. We don't just battle to the place of rest for ourselves. It's for your family. I want to tell you something. They're worth it. Hey. It's for your church. It's for your church. I want to tell you something. Jesus is worth it. I want to tell you, it's for faces that we haven't seen yet. They're worth it. Jesus said so. And so let's be a part of what He paid for. Let's practice receiving the rest of God, and let's enjoy Him. Wow. I got more to do. We'll pick up next week. Hey, rest on the inside. Receive strength on the inside. And He causes fears and worries, panic, stress to go away. This is what He said. And actually, it's in 1 Peter 5:7. I don't have time to go there. I'm just going to tell you. It says, cast your care upon Him. Because He careth. He cares. TLC for you. I want to tell you, a disturbed heart, disturbed heart doesn't enter into the promised land. A disturbed heart doesn't enter into His rest. This is something that's got to be settled. A determined decision. And a practice of receiving. This is where we battle into His rest. The battlefield is here, not out there. It's here. We receive. And I want to tell you, it may take a long time. But I want to tell you, He's worth it. You're worth it. Family's worth it. Others are worth it. You understand? The kingdom's worth it. And so let's take the Word of God seriously. Let's battle. Let's labor into the rest. Get into the rest, the finished works of God. Let's see it. Let's observe it. Let's cultivate it in our life. Let's guard it so that others can enjoy the fruit and the harvest of it. This is for us. Let me pray for you. This morning, cast your care upon Him. Jesus said, trouble's coming, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Me. Okay? Let's receive His rest. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your rest. Lord, we may not even know what all the definition of it is. We may not even know how it shows up in our life, but we know it comes from You. And You said every good thing comes from You, that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, that, Lord, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and in the name of Jesus, we take back ground that's been stolen. In the name of Jesus, we plead the finished works of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that we conquer ground that the enemy says is impossible. And we just declare that the hope of the Lord would rise up in the hearts of Your people. And we declare in Jesus' name, we believe. Lord, we give our allegiance to You. Lord, we yield. We submit. We humble ourselves before You. Not by my works, not by my power, but by Your Spirit. We depend on You. And we receive what You're doing. Thank You, Lord, that our weakness will not hinder Your strength. Lord, we receive Your strength. And I pray in the name of Jesus for great peace to come to our hearts. Lord, we release the power, the truth of Your joy in us, that it's not by our works, it's by Your works, that it's the gift of righteousness, that we are forgiven, that it's finished forgiveness, that, Lord, we can enjoy the benefits of Your forgiveness. Great joy and celebration be released in our hearts. Great peace, great joy. The hope of the Lord is rising up. Lord, show Yourself mighty. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen and amen.